accomplished. We're going to talk a little about that, but always remember, it is our Father that has already accomplished things. I want you to think of God's elect were chosen in the first earth age, why they accomplished the right to be chosen. Can-do type people. You don't have to worry about them. They're always hungry for the Word of God, and they can get it done. But the main thing, you always give our Father credit that He is the one. He is the one that accomplished everything. He had a plan, and He sticks with that plan. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the 21st chapter of Matthew. The Greek word we're going to be dealing with today in all the scriptures we will cover is katharteizo. And what it means is to complete thoroughly, to restore, or to accomplish. And that's the way God operates. You can count on it. Let's pick it up, if we may, with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Matthew 21, verse 12. And verse 12 reads, "And Jesus went into the temple of God, and He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." He cleaned house. That's the way our Father does. And you know something? As we come near to the end of time, God's going to throw out the play actors that play church instead of teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. By throw them out, I mean, they're not going to make it. They're going to be deceived. The evil one is coming, the false Messiah, and people need to be forewarned. That's why Christ said, keep the house clean of thoughts that do not pertain to what Christ teaches. Verse 13, "And said unto them, it is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And so it is, the money changers moved right into the temple. You know, get something for God on the quick trip, ready way on the way, you know, and so it is. God can get along without all that. He's in control. He's got everything going His way. And so it is. And this is one of the reasons we don't even take up offerings in the chapel. Okay, what people do is their own business between them and the Father. And you don't clutter up God's house with that sort of thing. You know, doing something religious like passing the plate again, please. Now, of course, none of you have ever had that, have you? But so it is, you know. Father just doesn't like that. His house is for His Word to be taught. Verse 14, "And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them." He could cut it. He got it done. "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temples and saying, Hosanna, that's saved now, to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." You'd think it would have made them happy. But no, He was wrecking their playhouse. Threw out the money changers and let the mite-infested doves go and unfit to give to God as an offering. Verse 16, "And He said unto him, Hearest thou what these say?" Question. "And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" And the word perfected here is that Greek word, katharteizo, which is to say, accomplished. He did what? Out of the mouth of babes in Christ, He accomplished what was needed to be done. And I'm going to tell you something. It is out of the mouths of God's elect that He shall accomplish that must be done in these end times. And have you never read? It's written somewhere. Are you ignorant of God's Word, or have you read it? You know, we're going to go there in a moment. Naturally, it's the 8th Psalm, but not yet. 17, "And He left them and went out into the city of Bethany." And that's to say the house of dates, or even misery, if you want to translate it that way. "And He lodged there. Now in the morning, as He returned to the city, He hungered. 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Boom, just like that. Now, what is he saying here? Well, you in the end times, he didn't say, maybe you should learn the parable of the fig tree. He said, learn it, and he meant it. And as you go to Jeremiah 24, you understand there are good figs and bad figs. And what he had just done in cleaning the house, he had wilted some bad figs. And big time. And he'll do it again. But the main thing is, he expects you to have the knowledge to be able to discern. Not to do anything about it necessarily, but to discern right from wrong. And what it is he would do that you should understand, that is, if you want his blessings, okay? That's up to you. And verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? That rascal just, it curled up and died. 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, this is the question. If you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, that usually signifies nation, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. In other words, if you're one of my elect, just as I took those out of the mouth of the babes was perfected, that should come. He means his people, his children. And so it is that he puts things under their feet. If they take the authority and the power and rightly discern, dividing the word of God, showing themselves approved, for it is written. One more verse. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That is, in doing God's work. He will always furnish the material. You've got to do the building. Okay, that's where most people mess up. They want everything free. God just spoon feed me and make it all right. No, he doesn't work that way. He wants to see a little action on your part. Faith makes you want to serve him, to further his work. That's why he perfected the youth, the children, you, that would have ears to hear. Who was he talking to, and where is it written? It's written in Psalms chapter 8. I want to turn there. Psalms chapter 8 to understand what it is he's talking about here. Verse chapter 8, the great book of Psalms. And it reads, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. You control it all. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes, this is where it's written, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained, that means foreordained, arranged, made possible, strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths of the babes comes the word with the Holy Spirit speaking that takes care of the enemy, that brings truth from the word of God that is written, whereby people that have ears to hear can hear the very word of God and be blessed. And then in verse 3, when I considered thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. That means did before, foreordained. I mean made possible, accomplished. Look up at them sometime. Enjoy. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What do you care about him? He's flesh. And the son of man that thou visitest him. And so it is. What is it about them? Well, they're his children. You know, it's just it's human nature that a parent loves their children. And so it is. The children could even be pretty bad apples sometimes, but the parent still loves them. And so it is. Verse 5, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," the word in the Hebrew is Elohim, God and his children, "and has crowned him with glory and honor," if you receive it. Okay. "Thou madest him to have dominion," to have what? "Dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." 7, "All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field." 8, "The fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." So here he has placed man here on earth, Elohim. This is what God would say in Genesis 1. "Let us create man in our image." And God included himself, our. And when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And so it is. And when you do this, by taking charge and by accomplishing, take care of business. Okay. You know, every little thing does count. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. God gave you that charge. If you want his blessings, listen to him and pray about it. He said, "Whatever you ask for, I'll do it." But usually it's building his work and it's caring for the other children. You know, you show me one of God's elect and I'll show you somebody that has compassion. They care about others, not taking advantage of others, but helping others to assist, to comfort, to see that God's blessings fall upon them, to let God kick a bunch of the rocks out of the road so that life is a lot smoother trip because you have his blessings. So, but what did he mean out of the mouth of babes, and what is this hinged on? It's hinged way back in the book of Samuel, of a child, a young boy. His older brothers were already in the field battling, or supposed to be battling. They weren't doing much warring because the Philistines were on a mountain over here and they were afraid of them because there was a big giant in the way. And this little kid, babe, goes to the battlefront to take food to his brothers. And while he was there, he said, "What's the holdup?" Because here this Goliath comes out and taunts Israel every morning. And they shake in their boots. You know, it's just like people today. There's giants out there. Socially, politically, educationally, and financially, there isn't. You and God make a majority. God took care of the giants. You don't have to worry about it. If you're with the Father, he's with you. You've got it made. Takes a little effort, but most of all, it takes faith. That's your shield. That's what allows you to do this. But let's just go there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. What came out of that babe's mouth that makes a difference? That's what Christ was referring to here. And it's a lesson in life that you should learn if you ever learned any one lesson from God's Word that is written. What came out of the babe's mouth? What was the point? What was the procedure? Pick it up. Let's see. Let's go with about verse 17. Let's make it 40. Let's take 40. Five. Then said David to let's go with 44. And the Philistine, verse 44, chapter 17, 1 Samuel. And the Philistine, that's the giant, said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And 43, he said to the Philistine, said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. In other words, he called on his gods to curse David. You know why? David's going out there with, what has he got? He's got a slingshot. Okay. He doesn't even have any armor on. And he's going up against Goliath, the champion. I mean, he carries a beam, 10 foot long and longer, 18 feet long to be exact, spear. I mean, he's all decked out, and he's got all of Israel crowing and shaking in their boots. And here David crossed a little old stream, picked up 5 smooth stones, as a shepherd always does, put it in his shepherd's bag. But what does he do? What came out of his mouth? It isn't what's in that shepherd's bag, and it isn't the sling stone. It's what came out of his mouth that counts. Verse 46. Let's see, we got 45. Then said David, let's get 45 again. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come," this is what's important, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You stand out there defying. "This day," verse 46, "this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know," that they may what? "That they may know that there is a God in Israel." It's not a game, my friends. God is with us. He was with that lad that day. What came out of his mouth? He didn't trust in weapons as much as he trusted in Almighty God and the ability that he had given him as a shepherd boy, being able to use that sling stone. What happened? 47. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands." So listen and learn. Our Father is on the throne still to this day. Don't you ever let him see you shake in these end times. It'll go worse and worse, but that's okay. God's got you surrounded as long as you will allow him. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, then that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the ground." David took him. Here, the whole army of Israel. But it wasn't weapons. It was God they needed to trust. It was God they needed to have faith in. And the very skills that David had to outsmart the enemy. In other words, that little pellet, a stone, smooth stone, made it through all of his preparation, his defense, and killed him deader than a hammer. Okay? God prepared babes so that out of their mouth he could destroy the enemy, because it is God that sees that we have the victory. It is God that accomplished long ago. If you have the faith to believe in him, you don't have to worry about any nation, any politician, any religion other than Christianity, which is not a religion, but a reality in serving the living God, if you want to connect with him. How precious it is. And some might say, well, you're being a little politically incorrect when you say Christianity is the religion. No, I'm telling you the truth. I don't pay much attention to what's politically correct if it goes against moral correctness. Truth is truth. No more need be said about it. So, out of the mouth of that babe came the fact he trusted the living God. That the Philistine could have had a whole army with him. David had God with him. And he had the faith to step forward and to take on the enemy. So out of the mouth of that babe came the words that you need in your heart, mind, body, and soul today, to know that whatever our enemy is, God gave them to us. He put them under our feet, and He expects us to see that they go there. Not with violence, but in loving your enemy, you pray for them, and you know, you're supposed to use the rod to correct your child or spoil it. Well, what do you do with the enemy? Well, you may have to use a tuba for to get his, give him a little attitude adjustment. But that'll get it done, okay? So there you have David, and that's why out of the mouth of babes, your faith in God is strengthened. And with that, you have God's hand upon you. Turn with me now back to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to pick it up with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. That is complete. Couldn't do it. The blood of animals. So God naturally, He sent someone that their blood could and would, and that's Christ's blood on the cross, that it could forgive sins. The law was a schoolmaster up until He came. He didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled part of the ordinances, too. And you need to know the difference between ordinances and the law. Two, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. But because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. It didn't remain. They sinned again, just like, unfortunately, flesh does today. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, over and over. The chief priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. I want you to remember one thing. Christ, when He died on the cross, rent the veil of the Holy of Holies so that you can go in any time. You don't ever have to wait. You don't need another man to go between you and God. You can go right on in. He rent that veil and said, come in. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. They just don't. Okay. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. This word prepared is that same word. Katetizo. Accomplished. You accomplished it by preparing me a body to come to this world, to die on that cross, whereby in return, as it's written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I can destroy Satan. I can do him in. You know, Satan is God's child also, inasmuch as God created all souls. He's got to destroy him. This gave him that right. But at the same time, that body that was prepared was your sacrifice that doesn't have to be offered over and over. It's sacrilegious to even think such a thing, that Christ would have to die again for you. You did it once, that does it. The rest of it's up to you. When you sin, you got to repent. Don't say you got to be saved again. Christ does the saving. And He did a good job. But you can drift far away if you don't keep repentance. But God foreordained, prepared. He got it done. He accomplished in bringing forth that body that would never have to be sacrificed again. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so it is that in the volume of this book, you have the instructions to make these flesh bodies happy. You have the instructions to make these flesh bodies blessed. So that God looks out for you, just like He was with little old David when he crossed that stream. never doubting, his faith strong, and he took it on head to head, knowing that God was with him and that God would give him the victory. No doubt. And so it was. That's the way you want to feel in this world today, giving you confidence in yourself that God chose his election. He prepared them. He chose them even before the foundations of this earth. Why? But they earned it. It wasn't a free thing. They could cut it. They could get it done. And so it is. If you ever have any wonders about that, you need to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 4, where it stipulates, before the foundations of this earth, I chose you. He didn't choose you because you were the prettiest. He chose you because you had faith in him and you could cut it and you stood against Satan. And that's why he chose you as one of his elect. How precious it is that God does accomplish things. He has already accomplished these things. And so it is that he, and we will continue on from verse 8. And when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering is an offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. A much better sacrifice. 10. To complete. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Never again, never is it necessary. And it would be sacrilegious for anybody to say, well, we've got to sacrifice some animals. What, that boy, God would come down on you like with a ton of brick. You don't do that. But forever, he rent that veil. Not from the bottom up, but from the top to the bottom, showing you that the Holy of Holies is open to you. God is open to you. Your Heavenly Father is open to you. You don't need some preacher. You don't need some man or woman of God. You're a child of God. He's your Father. Walk in. Talk to him. And know that he accomplished things long ago, giving you the right to partake of those things. Now, move on with me to 1 Peter, the first book of Peter. I want to pick it up in verse 6 of the 5th chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble thy yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This is what it takes. Not showing what an important person you are. You know, this is unfortunately what gets in a lot of people in trouble. You get on ego trips. A lot of preachers get on ego trips. You don't. Anytime you lose fact that it is God that accomplished things, not man, you're not humbling yourself before him, and he will cut you off big time. So always love him. He is your father, your closest relative. It's easy to humble yourself before him. 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This means anxieties. Care is worry. A lot of people say, well, I just have to worry about something. Well, what good is it? What good does it do you to worry about something? It's not going to change anything. It's one thing to be careful and use wisdom. But when you talk to the Father about it and make your best decision, your best shot, cast it on him. Why? He loves you. It's very difficult for some people to realize, well, how could God love me? Well, you're his child. He's very forgiving when you repent. Verse 8, be sober. That means sensible. Be vigilant. That means be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He would like to deceive everybody one way or the other. And do you know where Satan would just as soon work as anywhere? A pulpit. He loves it. He uses religion. Always has. You might say, well, can you document that? It's so easy. Matthew chapter 4, how did he tempt Christ? With Scripture. I'm telling you, Satan knows a lot more Scripture than most Christians would. There's just one big problem. He quoted Scripture right enough, Psalms 91 and a few others, Deuteronomy. But he always twists it 90 degrees right at the end and makes a lie out of it, even from quoting from God's Word. He is a Scripture lawyer, and he knows the Scripture. But he is on such an ego trip. And he's ready to devour and to... You know what Satan's method of operation is? You are such an intelligent person. Man, you just wow me. You've got it. You really do. But you must listen to me. You know, he builds you up and then he pulls the rug right out from under you. He's sharp and he's slick. Don't get on an ego trip. Humble yourself before God. Don't worry about things. Be confident in your own abilities as long as you have faith and you're pleasing God, and serve Him. And you have no problem. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Well, how do you resist Satan? In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions or attack are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, it happens everywhere. This should remind you of the little scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Very famous scripture. For it says, don't you ever get on one of these crying, poor me, baby Jags, because nothing ever happens to you that doesn't pretty well happen to everybody. And God will never overload your donkey. That's my words, not his. He will never overload you with more than you can handle, test you more than you can bear. The most beautiful part of it, he will always show you a way out if you have the faith. Always show you the way out to take care of business. That's faith, my friend. I promise you, he will keep his bargain if you'll keep yours. He always has. He always will. He is the same yesterday, he will be today, and he will be tomorrow. Man may let you down, but God will always be as God is, your Father, a loving Father. And he wants to reach out. He wants to touch you and guarantee you with faith you can cut it. Verse 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. There's our word. Accomplished. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. You can count on it. He fixes it. Faith is a beautiful thing. I believe that with all my heart. I do. And I know that the word perfect there is that same word accomplished. Katartizo. It means completely and thoroughly complete. It means to be restored, to be made new. And how precious it is that our Father, he gives that to you for believing, for trusting him. That makes all the difference in the world, is for him to know that you love him. You know, this is why Jesus would say in Isaiah chapter, the Father would say in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, he said, hey, remind me of all the promises I've made. He wants you to remind him so he knows you've read the book. Remind me of them. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together so that I can make your life justified. So I can help you. So you have to help yourself. That's a very important scripture, Isaiah 43:26. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to him. Well, I thought I had to have a written prayer. Don't you ever think you have to have a written prayer. That's, in my heart and mind, that's almost sacrilegious. Okay. Many times I'm called to do certain things with, and I'm not judging any other pastor, but they'll pull out a big long paper with a prayer written on it. That just really turns me off. God wants to hear what you have in your heart. He doesn't want you to have some teleprompter or paper. He wants to know what you're thinking. Do you truly love Him or are you playing? Are you a fake or are you the real thing? That's what you don't have to worry. He knows. But that's why you have to humble yourself and be honest with Him. Because He is so very easy to please. He built in every way for you to please Him. Well, how could He do that when I'm a sinner? Repent. He built it in for you. He paid an awesome price that on repentance your sins are washed away. And you're forgiven. That doesn't give you a license to go sin. But at the same time, He did it so that you could have salvation. Well, why would He do that? He loves you. He loves you very much. He created your very soul. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. He wanted somebody just like you. But He does want you to love Him. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for having arranged all these things. Thank You for sending us the book, Father. Lo, that You came in the book in the name of the Son. That we have the guidance to lead us, direct us, and to bring forth Thy blessings as they are poured out on those that love Him. Father, indeed we love You. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast.